You're listening to the Media Snackers podcast. Check us out on mediasnackers.com.
Well, I'm here with Anthony Utley from Cosgrove Hall, and welcome, Anthony.
Thank you. Cheers, DK.
Okay, and if you could tell me a bit about yourself and my audience, obviously, and your role, because you are a new boy at Cosgrove Hall.
Indeed, relatively new, yeah. I've been with Cosgrove Hall for 10 months as managing director, which has been a very interesting period. Previous to that, I've worked in television 29 years, which is a bit scary, starting off in the BBC in 1977 and having a experience in different areas of broadcasting in BBC, BBC Worldwide, Central Television, which became Carlton Television, and now, of course, Cosgrove Hall.
Wicked. And could you tell us a bit about Cosgrove Hall in terms of, you know, what you do there for any listeners who don't know about yourself?
Sure. Yeah, well, Cosgrove Hall is Europe's largest animation studio, which we're very proud of. And we're celebrating our 30th birthday this year, which is great. It's based up in Chorlton, which is a little leafy suburb of Manchester. And it's been here more or less in the same building all that time, and it was set up 30 years ago by Mark Hall and Brian Cosgrove, the founders, and they decided to set up here, even though all their advice given to them was saying, if you set up in Manchester, it'll never succeed. You know, you need to be based in London, and of course they've proved it wrong. Mark and Brian retired some years ago, but still very regular visitors to the studio. So both in their 70s, and they're sort of personal friends of mine now. And it's a great place. I mean, there's very much a sort of a family business feel to the company, even though we're actually owned 100% by ITV Granada now, which is a sort of strange dilemma sometimes.
Yeah, and I can imagine, because obviously we talked briefly about this interview, but I'd love to get your views about the forthcoming Ofcom ruling. And for people who don't know, that's where they're actually talking about maybe banning junk food advertising within the UK, and obviously that would impact on Indigenous programming. What are your views on this issue as an industry kind of insider in that respect?
Well, yeah, very much so. It's a huge problem for the children's and animation industry as a whole, of course, because funding is already very much in peril. You know, children's animation always tends to be towards the lower end of the food chain when it comes to commissioning or acquisition money from broadcasters, and so it's a major issue. You know, we're talking about, I think, about a minimum of 30 million coming out of the pot, and quite possibly a lot more. So it is going to affect the entire industry, Indigenous industry, very severely.
It's a scary, scary. I can imagine it's a scary place to be at the moment.
It is indeed, because I mean, in the old days, of course, Cosgrove Hall, one of its most famous shows was Danger Mouse and Count Duckula, which I know still has a great cult following in the UK and the US and right around the globe. Now, in the days when Danger Mouse was made, 25 years ago it began, which is a scary thought. Cosgrove Hall was then owned by Thames Television, which a lot of your listeners won't remember, but it was one of the ITV companies before Carlton Television came along. Okay. And in those days, shows were fully funded because money wasn't really a problem. ITV was more or less a license to print money, it seemed. And Danger Mouse, they just thought, yeah, what a great show, and they fully funded the production cost of it. Now, just to show how times have changed so much, 25 years on, if a broadcaster, be it the BBC, ITV, or Channel 5, whatever, if they actually commission a show from a producer, they'll pay maybe 25% of the production cost. Wow. So you have to find the other 75% from elsewhere, which means you've got to talk to foreign broadcasters for co-productions, you know, toy companies and so on. So it's a tough industry, and it's just going to get even tougher, I think, with these inevitable regulations that are coming in.
So in terms of all that, then, your constraints almost, what in the next 5 or 10 years will the industry and will Cosgrove Hall be focusing on in terms of programming, in terms of industry developments? Where do you see it going?
Well, what we'll have to do, I think, talking in the traditional producing for television side, which is still, you know, I know it's sort of declining that, but it's still a major influence and the main sort of crux of getting a show off the ground. It just means that you're going to have to make good programs, but very commercial programs, for less money, which of course opens up a whole new can of worms. But it means you're going to have to talk to lots of foreign partners, and already we're talking to French and Canadian, particularly co-production and broadcast partners, because in those countries, France and Canada, you can access a very complicated tax credit scheme, which is basically a subsidy, which we're sadly lacking in this country from our government, in terms of the fact they recognise that the industry needs a shot in the arm, and they offer, it is very complicated and it's built upon a point system, of subsidising the production industry, and you can in fact cover, you know, 30-40% maybe of your programme budget by doing that. Okay. But of course that means a lot of the work, or some of the work at least, having to go to French or Canadian partners. So what the Lord giveth with one hand, he sort of taketh away with the other. But generally, if the sort of chemistry is right between the partners and there's a passion to get the show made, it can happen, and it's been proven to happen. We're working on several shows like that at the moment.
Interesting. So in terms of your audience then, because they've obviously changed, and that's what I'm looking at in Media Snackers. How do you see them change in terms of their expectations, their media consumption and creation habits?
Right. Well, I think it's just going to be dipping in and out. You know, I think there's no such thing now as audience loyalty, which, you know, when I grew up watching television, you knew what your favourite show was, and you avidly watched that show on that channel at a set time. All that's gone out the window now, you know, because you can, with Sky Plus or through internet viewing and so on, you can choose your time to look at shows and how much you want or how little you want. You know, the whole sort of audience loyalty, which is a very traditional way of looking at television channels, has gone out the window, because people are, I mean, not just kids, but the whole audience is choosing when and how much it wants to see of any show.
And in terms,
I was just going to say the whole audience is fragmenting. You know, in the early days of Danger Mouse, if you look at the sort of ratings charts, Danger Mouse was sort of number two in the ratings, just behind Coronation Street, with an audience of about 28 million. Now, audiences of 28 million are unheard of now. If you get 5 million, you're sort of overjoyed, really. So it just shows how audiences have fragmented, and you know, we have to find ways to attract viewers to our shows by whatever means they view them.
And in terms of then all this debate and the growing, well, I'm seeing the growing groundswell of user-generated content, so people actually creating stuff, throwing it on the web, and this could be anything, through video sharing sites, through their own websites, etc. You know, how do you see that affecting the operations from a broadcast industry point of view?
You mean people actually creating their own material and putting it on sites like YouTube and so on?
Certainly, yeah.
Is it? Yeah. I mean, that you know, I surf those sort of sites myself as well, and I'm intrigued by the standards that some have obtained. You know, and looking at animation in particular, which is obviously my field here, it's amazing that the kind of quality of stuff that people are putting together just because they love it, and not, you know, they haven't got any real access to money. However, I do think that's going to be, you know, not a flash in the pan, but at the moment it's all relatively new, and because it's user-generated, people are looking at it. I still think there's going to be a demand for quality shows, you know, that you can dip in and out of those kind of things. But in terms of shows like ours, which can cost anything up to about £10,000-£12,000 a minute to produce, you know, there is still a hunger for those.
But don't you think there might be something from an industry point of view, a broadcasting point of view, that they're kind of missing a trick there?
Yeah, I guess so. And you know, I'm probably the wrong person to ask in a way, because I'm a veteran and I've been in the business for 29 years. So I'm desperately trying hard not to look at the sort of traditional viewpoint. But I still think, you know, that people want to see high quality shows as well as user generated stuff. I mean, I'm sure we'll be seeing, and we already do see, an element of user generated material on traditional channels, and it's interesting. But I think there needs to be a mix of both, and the audience will still want to see high quality, well funded, well made shows as well.
Brilliant. Okay, Anthony, well, we'll wrap it up there. I just want to say thanks for your time, mate. It's been brilliant talking to you.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thanks a lot, DK. Cheers.
You're listening to the Media Snackers podcast. Check us out on mediasnackers.com.